live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
If you believe it, put your hand up right now. Hallelujah. Let me see it one more time. Amen. Amen. Now, awesome. Now, see, we serve a God who wants his kingdom to look awesome. We serve a God who wants to set his people up to look awesome. Not so they can say, look how great I look. Look at me. But it's so that his kingdom can be promoted and that it can expand. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, listen, I'm going to be going off the cuff here. Pastor came up to me and said right before service, he said, listen, I've got to take my mother to the hospital. I hope you got something that you can bring. Hope you got something you can bring. And I've learned over the years to, to be instant. Now, I happen to have notes because I keep things on my flash drive. And I say, Lord, what do you want me to share today? So today he brought me to a certain spot. But I want you to know that if I did not have notes and have things already on my flash drive, I would just flow and let God bubble up. I would just talk to you and tell you what God has put on my heart. Amen. Just like so many of us have the opportunity to do, even when we're at work or wherever and in our lives, just share our story. And it does what it does all by itself. Amen. So please, we're going to open up with prayer. Pray for me and that I give you what God wants you to have. Amen. Father God, we just thank you right now for today. This is the day you've made. Truly, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Have your way, Father God. Let us leave with the word that you want us to leave with. Anything else that is extra, Father God, I thank you. It will lay on this floor and be of no fruit to anyone, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you, and trust me, I'm not going to be long. I'm going to go as long as God tells me to, and we'll get off of it and just have our day. I kind of smile because, you know, I've been dealing with a cough, and it's kind of hard to, I'm impressed with what's happening right now. Because under the anointing, I forgot that I'd been coughing all this time, but I don't feel that tickle. So hallelujah. God is good. Amen. So listen, I want to talk to you about success because we in the world, we have different visions of what success looks like. When we say what it is to be successful, it changes in our minds from one person to another. You know, some people are just happy and consider it a success to have woken up this morning. There are some people who woke up on their 59th birthday and said, I made it to 59. Because I know many people who say, well, my grandfather, he died in his 40s. My auntie, she died in her early 50s. And I just know it's coming to me. And they wake up 59 and it's like, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Now, listen, I hope our level of success is greater than that. All right? And so we're going to be talking about what does that look like? What does God's success look like for us? Because when I looked out and I told you that you have a sentence on your life for success, it is true. God has set you up and wants to continue to set you up that you will be successful and that you will do the things that he has for you to do. And you will affect the area that you're supposed to affect. Amen? But far too long, the enemy has been beating us down. And even now, when I say, raise your hand if you believe that you are supposed to be successful, there may be some people, believe it or not, in here, thank you, who would say, well, no, I'm just going to, I like just helping out. I'm a assist person. You know, I'll watch other people in their own success. And it's because the enemy has beat us down so much that we're afraid to touch what might be successful because it's a battle It's not easy. So that's what I want to talk to us about today. The Lord wants to talk to us today about this. I want us to look in Joshua 1, verse 7 through 8. And you know, it's funny. Whenever I think I don't have a lot to share, my time disappears as I'm speaking. So I better not play around. I better just move. I tell you, I could take a paragraph and stretch that bad boy. So we better get busy because I got 3 pages. I do. We're not going to hit all of it. I want to just start out here reading in Joshua 1 in verse 7. And I know it's a scripture we've heard many times before. It says here, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. See, we can hold up right here. See, this is God's trying to instruct Joshua. His leader has just died. Moses has just died. Can you imagine? You're going to the NBA playoffs. You're watching whoever it is that you love back in the day. It might have been Jordan, or it might be Kobe Bryant. And he's got you all the way through the season, and you just know they're ready to win it. And then Kobe is gone. Now, there's a lot of people. Right now, if you're on that team, they're like, oh, shoot. They already moved on to next year. Gonna have to try it next year. Well, imagine how Joshua felt. The leader who heard from God. He went and saw God. He would talk to God. And his face would come back. When he was come back, he would be glowing. He had to cover his face up. He heard from God. He had a direct line to God. And he's going to take us to the promised land. And then he's dead. All these people, millions and millions of people. And now God says, hey, you got it. You can take this team on. I don't know about you. There's some things facing me right now. I'm saying, can I do that? You know, and so we get used to handling things at a certain level. And we put anchors on ourselves and we say, I'm comfortable with this territory. Joshua was comfortable with fighting and protecting Moses. He was good at that. But wait a minute. No, I like getting the orders from the head man, and then I'll help disperse those orders. But no, he's telling him what to do here. And he said in this same verse 7, wherever you go, that you may prosper wherever you go. If we could keep that in our own minds, that you will prosper wherever you go, if you will do the things God has for you to do, and that is to observe the word, to do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. In verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You know, it didn't say thinking, right? Now we know we're supposed to meditate on the word, but here he's telling him, this should not depart from your mouth. Don't let it fall out of your speaking. My goodness, we'll let that soak. I do like Ivy. She lets things marinate. You should see the way she works in the kitchen, man. She'll be watching her Channel 44, the Food Network, and be letting things marinate. And I'll be like, oh, I don't know how that's going to taste. But sure enough, you let it sit long enough, hallelujah. We'll let that sit for a moment. All right, but he says, this book of the law you shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Somebody say all.
All.
Say it one more time. All.
All.
All right, good. We'll come back to that too. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then, after you've done that previous thing, then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Amen? Now, we hit all. He's telling us to do all that it tells us to do. Okay, now listen, I know the commandments have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, but I want to bring it over to New Testament where we are, and I want us to think about the fact that when God tells us to do something, even here, we knew we couldn't complete, we couldn't actually satisfy all the law. That's why Jesus came, okay? So it's impossible for them to actually have satisfied all of the law. But we, being of the new covenant, Jesus came and satisfied all of the law, right? And now we are engrafted into the family. But at the same time, God speaks some things and he says, I want you to do A, B, C, and D. And this is what I have for you. And if you do this, your way will be prosperous. Still, we got to do all of what God has told us to do. Take one thing out of the ingredients when you're baking a cake, and not everybody will know it's missing, but most people will know it's missing. Okay? So we've got to listen and do what God has for us to do. And I want to tell you today in the church, I'm saying the reason I had to stop on all is because right now we're living in a day and age where we are comfortable picking and choosing. We've gotten so comfortable with going to buffets. You know, it's amazing. Even my children, I get tired of how much food they waste. And I feel bad sometimes because we get them food and they are so pampered at times. The amount of food that they waste, I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Daddy, I'm going to eat this, but I don't want that. No, you're going to eat that. That's what, you know, and that's kind of how God is saying to us, no, I've prepared something for you. Eat all of it. And in this day and age, we got people walking around beat, not prospering in their lives, not fine in their minds, all kinds of different things going on. And then we got some who are saying, healing, that was in the Bible. That really has been completed. Or if you're going to get healed, it will be something divine that it's not because man prayed or anything. It's just divine intervention. But the truth of the matter is, God told us we can lay hands on the sick and they should recover. If we don't expect that, we're not going to get to it. Amen? So here you have Joshua, and God is telling Joshua what he needs to do. He told him, be strong and very courageous. First thing we need to understand is if we're going to be successful, it's not going to come in your pastime. Now, you hear me play piano. That's probably one, two, three, four. That's probably about my seventh or eighth keyboard that I've owned. These two. I've got owner's manuals from my older keyboards that look like they were in water, that water dripped on them. If you saw them, they look like water dripped on them. It was me crying over my pages. I'm not kidding you. Working hard on my keyboards, trying to get my skills up over the years and just spending time. And so what some people listen to today and they say, oh, wow, that's awesome. You should have heard it. People used to laugh at how I played. You know, people used to laugh and say, what was that? And I just kept practicing. I kept practicing. I kept practicing. I was deliberate about it. And success will not happen unless you are very deliberate, unless you say, I want to do this, this, and this. And in order for that to happen, I've got to come up, oh, okay, I got to be at this level to pull it off. It will not happen because we just passively deal with it. Joshua will not be able to lead the people to the promised land unless he is strong and courageous. And being courageous means sometimes you got to deal with some big suckers. Should I not say that? I have to look at my wife's face to see, did I step in it? Okay, I'm sorry. All right, let me be right. Sometimes some of the biggest adversaries you'll be dealing with will be in you. You've got to be strong and very courageous because everybody can be for you. God can have given you your orders, but if in your mind you still see yourself as that little peon who couldn't do much, that little guy who stuttered when he was young. There were certain lessons I had to go through, speech sessions I had to go through because I couldn't say my R's right or anything when I was little. People be amazed to hear I got CDs out. I've ministered to 2,000 plus thousands of people, and they say, you got up in front of somebody? Mr. Hamburger? Hamburger? That's how I used to say hamburger. Or I'm the one who married me a pretty gal. You know? But I had to go through some things. And so what I'm saying is, I could allow that to stay in my mind. And so when God says, I want you to go, and I want you to do, and I say, now God, remember the anchor that we've already laid here. Okay, this is my territory. I can operate in this. This is my area. And God says, no, I want you to go beyond that. And so we start doing, you know, we start doing the Moses. I can't speak. I can't say those things. We do the Gideon. I'm just a young little guy. We always get these disclaimers when God says, I want you to do something big. And I want you to know right now, out of this area, God wants to bring something so mighty that will shake our nation. If we can get our heads into saying, God can do it, God can do it, I will be perfect. We'll pull it off. We'll pull it off because it's not this, what does God want you to get there? He wants you to get there. He's put a sentence on you and he said, you will do. He's already drafted it in. You know, when they came back, when they sent them out two by two and they went and ministered and they came back and they said, the demons obey us. It's amazing. They're running. He's like, I would love to have seen Jesus' face because I assume Jesus' face is like, what? Of course. What you think I sent you out there to do? Marvel that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, yes, yes. I expect this to happen. It's a byproduct. Success is a byproduct of being a part of God.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, glory.
You're a part of God. Oh, you're successful.
That's right. Hallelujah.
There's a sentence on you to succeed. The only thing that will hinder you is the giant standing in the mirror. The giant that says, I have to work from these parameters, and this says, I can do this much. This says I'm too old. Listen, when I went back to school, I was like 38, 37. And I said, I'm going to be the man of the house. School's done for me. I got to provide for my family. I don't have time to go back to school. It's already too late. And my wife, as awesome as she is, a lot of the successes that we have gone through has been because my wife has said, get in there. And I'm serious. I can go through a name. But when I went back to school, and because she encouraged me to, and she said, baby, we'll make it work. It's all right. I told myself something. I said in the mirror, you will be perfect. I'm serious. I remember the Titans. He said, you will be perfect. I started saying that to myself. You will be perfect. And on my cell phone, on the cover, the screen of my cell phone, it said WCJ 608. I will never forget it because that's my initials. In June of 2008, I would be done with my MBA. That was something I flipped. Every day I flipped my phone open. Every time I flipped my phone open, I saw that WCJ 608. And I said, you will be perfect. And I went through and out of five or six quarters, I had a 4.0. I'm serious. Now, my teachers back in high school would have tripped because they would know Otis was happy because I'd be like, I got a C minus. Hi, I got through. I'm good. But you know what? I had to get to a place where I said, I know my limitations, but God is a good God. And if he said I can do it, it's going to get done.
Right.
Amen? It's going to get done. So now here you got Joshua, and I better move. I know. Here you got Joshua. He's got to take these people into the promised land and do what God has for them to do. And God told him, be strong and very courageous. Do all according to what Moses has commanded you. I want to give you a little, a quick insight to something. When you hook up to something and you believe God told you to attach to something, let me say it that way, he will honor that bond. Okay? So now, let me give you a quick thing here. When I came to Pastor Rob and I said, we want to join this church, I said, I am basically saying to him, I identify you as my spiritual father. Identify you as my spiritual father. Now listen, that doesn't mean I think he's smarter than me. I don't know if he is or isn't. That had nothing to do with it. It's just the fact that I say, I identify you as my spiritual father. I believe God wants me here, so I'm placing myself in submission to you. As you speak, I will go. Now, at the point where God tells me no longer that is a connection that we're supposed to have, then that will have to be severed. Because as long as I am under that position, I am going to obey what my leader says. Now, to the world, that sounds foreign. But if I want to be successful, I better understand how God sets up his kingdom. And I better understand that as I do unto others, so will it be done to me. So when I'm leading something, I can expect to tell one to go and the other to come. And they do it. Jesus marveled at the man when he said, no, you don't even have to come to my house to heal my servant. Because I too am a man in authority, and I understand when I tell one to go, he goes, and one to come, he comes. So Jesus just tell him. And Jesus marveled at his understanding of how things were set up.
That's right.
And the man was successful.
So
what I'm trying to say to you is, here he says, do all that Moses commanded you to do. Moses was the set man and he got the vision from God and told him to move. Amen?
Amen.
So if he's going to be successful, he must carry out what has already been put in play and the orders that had already been given. And God told him, you've seen me move with Moses. Joshua was there when the clouds came in or when the fire led them. Joshua was there when Moses came down and had a glow on his face or spoke. And he heard God's voice. Moses and Joshua were very tight. And so he learned how to follow. If you're going to be successful, you're going to have to do all that God has told you to do. So what I mean by that is right now, God tells you to shun the very appearance of evil. Okay? So, one side we say, I know God will meet all my needs. My God is a good God. And if you're out there sharing that in the world, that's all well and good. But on the flip side is, if you are at the bank and the teller accidentally gives you an extra 20, what you gonna do? I know you got bills. But you can't say one thing and then do the other. You can't say you love God and then not tithe. And then come to the church and say, please pray for me. Well, why am I praying for you? We can't pay our bills. Well, why can't you pay our bills? I don't know. We don't have enough money. And if you dig a little bit further, do you tithe? Well, no, but pray for me. No, that's not going to work. So here's what I'm saying. Some of us not attaining success, yes, there's things for us to do. And this isn't a message to get you to do more here at the church. I could pick this from any angle. I could pick it with students going to school and saying, I want great grades, and then just partying all the time. And then you say, well, why did I get that D? Well,
yeah.
I mean, I could pick any area. But the bottom line is, there is things that God has for us to accomplish and to do, and the devil's laughing at us because he's like, I don't even have to mess with these people. They won't even discipline themselves enough to investigate in the things they say they care about. You want to go start a business and have a nursing home? You don't know anything about nursing. You can't stand blood. You don't want to wipe nobody's nose. But you want to be an administrator at a nursing home, or you want to open your own joint? You don't know how it runs. Or you want to get out of debt? And you don't know how you got in debt, it won't work. And so, I mean, I can expand this thing out. Let's look at something else real quick here. Let's see, where do I want to go? Let's go over to Proverbs 10. I'm going to try to throw out just some things real quick that hinders us. These are practical things, so I could go heavy on the scripture, but I'm not going to. I just want to throw out some practical things that get in our way and hinder us from having success. I put down here things that we must manage properly if we're going to be successful. And before I go too far, before I even get into that, understand, success in a nutshell is doing what God has for you to do and being at peace with that, okay? I'm trying to take it away because right now some people would say success is someone who has accumulated a certain amount of wealth or someone who has attained a PhD or they got all this or they got all that. No. You could be a doctor and not be successful.
That's right.
Some of us, we say, oh, he's a doctor. He's real successful. That's not true if you're not doing what God told you to do.
That's right.
If God told you to own a waste management joint, which there's people making millions in that business, but if God told you to manage that and that's what you did, you're successful. If God told you, well, my goodness, I don't want to mess, but, you know, I was reading this book once about time management, and in that book, it was talking about this man who worked so hard, and his main goal for working so hard was to provide for his family. He wanted to provide, send his kids to the best schools, take care of his wife. He wanted the family to have everything they needed, but he didn't manage his time well, so he invested all his time into business, and what he had at the beginning was his family. What he had at the end was money, and his family, he went through a divorce. Kids didn't like him. He never showed up to any of their games. And so a lot of times we could look and say, wow, that guy looks successful. He has millions. But he tried to take his life. She tried to take her life, lost their children, been through four or five, six marriages. What is success? If you wake up in the morning and you're looking over your shoulder, wondering who's going to come at you because you stepped on them, that's not success.
That's right.
Okay? Success, the favorable or prosperous termination of attempts or endeavors. I want to think about it along the lines of whatever God tells me to do, I want to say I went after it with all I had, and I did what he told me to do, and I'm at peace. Amen? All right. So a couple things we want to deal with is our time. In Proverbs 10:17, it says, he who keeps instructions is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Now, he who refuses instruction goes astray. Why did I put that under time? You know, here it's talking about someone getting instruction, kind of like what I was talking about with me learning keyboard or working on whatever I do. It's important to spend time in whatever area you believe you're supposed to be working in. Some will never be called to be a pastor of a church. Stop trying to do that. Maybe you got an awesome ministry of helps.
That's right.
Learn how things you can do to be more helpful. Only way you will get that type of instruction, which the word clearly tells us, to get that instruction and to keep it and to walk in the way of life, you have to slow down. You have to slow down and learn something. You have to slow down and sit under someone and let them teach you.
That's right.
Amen? But if we immediately get instruction from God and we run off, and we say, I'm going to do, before we have sat and allowed ourselves to watch, to learn, why do they do it that way? What exactly is going on there that makes that work? Until we do those things, until we slow down and allow someone to instruct us and to teach us and have time to practice, we will not properly handle the things of God. Amen? Case in point, I knew a cat who had, was, there was... I knew a guy who had not gotten his benefits, his welfare benefits, for several years. Tammy knows this individual I'm talking about. Years back, got close to $33,000. That money was gone within 4 months. Gone within 4 months. He had the resources, but he had not sat under someone who could instruct him and show him what to do. You're going to abuse the things God gives you. Amen? So if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to put time in. You're going to have to allow someone to instruct you. I tell you this, if you don't have a list of mentors you have that you go to, make up one. There's certain people I can go to. Now, I told you, Pastor Rob, he's my spiritual father, but I have other people who have been my spiritual father, and I still could go to them and get some advice, okay? I still could go to them, but I tell you this, I'm not going to go to someone who knows nothing about business and ask them how to handle my business. So you got to have many people that you submit to. And that doesn't mean you just run off and go crazy and do everything, but you let them speak into you, and you take that information, judge it, and let it be a witness to you, and roll with it. Amen? So you've got to be able to take the time, slow down life, because when you put in the work on the front end in structuring something, it will run much smoother. Amen? The second thing you have to manage is your mouth. You better manage your mouth. Because if you speak, listen, sometimes we don't understand. Our hard work gets tore up right away. You're doing the work motions and you say, you know, God told me to do this. Yeah, but he didn't tell you to run your mouth and all that. I find myself slipping over time. I can tell when I start backsliding. And believe it or not, you can be a minister and still have backslid, okay? I'm not talking about them running out there doing crazy things, fornicating and all that. But I still can have times where I'm not in my word as much as I should be, and where I haven't been watching myself. As I caught myself telling Seth the other day, I said, boy, you're killing me. And I never would have said those things. I never would have let those words slip out of my mouth. And so I've been catching myself like, what did I say? Because I believe that as you speak, you have a power in your mouth. And as you speak, it says, yes, sir. The angels are waiting for you to tell them what to do. They're just waiting, saying, I can't wait till he gets his mouth lined up with what God is doing, because I get to leave and go to his aid. They're just waiting.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
And so our mouth, you can't be damning things as you're trying to do what God has for you to do. Because as you're doing it and you say, God, forgive my language, but as you do it, damn it. Oh, well, just stop doing it. Stop doing whatever you're working on because you just cursed it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Watch the way we speak. We do not conquer and get what we're supposed to get because of our language, because of what the words we use. And they just reinforce. Ivy will tell you, there's two things I don't allow in the house. Stupid and dumb. Absolutely, those are trigger words for me. Because the devil tells me that all the time about myself. Those are the anchors those are my biggest anchors. The devil will try to tell me I'm stupid and I'm dumb. And those are the words that have carried with me through being a young boy in school. And when I stood and said, you will be perfect, I was cutting that thing off. I realized nobody's perfect, but I had to think that way because I had to cut off that thing. We will not say stupid or dumb because it sounds too much like the enemy.
That's right.
I don't need nobody else telling me that. The devil's telling me, you can't do it, Otis. You know you can't do that. So if my mouth lines up with him, we've got unity and something powerful is starting to happen, but it's on a negative end.
That's right.
Amen. We've got to watch our words. Another thing we must manage is truth. Now, we can lie to ourselves all day, and the Bible talks about how we can deceive ourselves, right? If you do not properly handle truth, you're going to hurt yourself. If you are not strong enough, and like I said, we're told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Being courageous is sometimes realizing you're not there. You have not put in the time that you need to. I'm talking about being critical of yourself in a good way. And so when I'm talking about truth, it's like, don't flub it. You know, so Ivy will say, are you off the wagon? When I'm eating some wings, some island, some island leghorn wings. And she's like, baby, did you fall off the wagon? No, this is planned. No. This, I'm trying to tease my body and throw it off schedule. Be truthful. Stop lying. The minute you realize, yeah, I did fall off, okay, make an adjustment. But as long as you, no, this is a part of the plan. I'm gonna have pancakes in the morning too. You know, come on, you gotta be truthful and you gotta manage truth properly. Look in the mirror and the things that are deficient, deal with it. Don't say it's not there. You know, there's some speech that you might have that's sexist, and somebody might point that out to you. You know you're not sexist, but you may have some things in you. Somebody point it out to you, don't get mad. Say, where'd that get in? I'm gonna have to deal with that. Okay, and we move on. That will help you be successful, because the quicker you will look at something and deal with it and cut its head off, you don't have to keep stumbling over it. Get it out of your way.
Amen.
All right. Another thing you need to manage are your contacts. Now, I sound like I'm doing a business, but I'm not. Your friends, your network. It's kind of what I mentioned before about having mentors. You know, David, he had certain people who could come to him and speak to him. There was all kinds of people who could have come and spoke to him. But David only allowed certain ones to come and speak to him. He put them, there were some who were a coach. You know, there were some who were just a very close friend, you know. There was others who were his confronters, or we call them devil's advocate. You know, we don't like that, but we all have friends who just get under us at times. And they say it real bold and just straight up in your face, and you're like, but then you walk away and it's like, daggone it, they do have a point. You've got to have people. And if you don't handle that and make certain you're putting people with you who cause you to go to a whole new level, you're going to stay at a certain level, and that's not going to really drive you. There's certain people right now, and people laugh when I say this, I do not want to play piano in front of. There's a couple people that I just do not want to touch the piano in front of. I mean, I'm serious. Once I hear them play, I'm like, I ain't touching that piano. But I go on and do it because they're that good. They're at that level. And when I'm with them, it makes me better.
That's right.
So we must manage who we hang out with and that they speak like we speak. I'm not saying we all have to be exactly the same. You don't want that. But you want people who are going to speak words that reinforce what you know God told you to do.
That's right.
Just because you don't hang out with somebody doesn't mean you don't like them. It just means for that season, they're not where you are.
That's right.
There's some people I can't tell them. Wait, was that Chris? Is Chris in here? Chris Deemer? Hey, you don't mind if I share that little story about your daughter? You know, there's some people you can't share everything with. And Chris was saying that, you know, as his daughter, Alyssa, was fasting, she started seeing more things. And she told somebody at school, Christian school, she told somebody, I saw an angel just over you. And you would think that'd be okay to tell somebody who's Christian. And they looked at her like she lost her mind. Just like, what in the world? Some people you're going to lose talking some crazy mess. When you start talking about the things God revealed to you, some of them are going to say, I don't know what's up with you, but they're going to distance themselves. And that's okay for a season. You've got to have people around you who are going to understand and be able to help reinforce you and push you in that.
That's right.
And that goes for if you're getting married or you're seeking a mate. I don't understand hooking up with somebody who's not spirit-filled, who don't believe in the gifts, and they're not going to identify in you the gifts that are flowing, and they're going to hinder them from coming forth.
That's right.
Never mind. I don't want to mess. But let's put it this way. Over the years of being a pastor, I had to deal with several situations. I had this one husband who was mad at me once. He was so mad at me because his wife kept wanting to tithe. And he wasn't going to church. So he was so mad. They always had fights because every time she got a paycheck, she wanted to tithe. And he just had fits. And it's the truth. The word says that you do this, you're not robbing God. You know, you don't want to rob God. But, you know, so you got to be careful even when you hook up with someone, that you're putting yourself with someone who's going to help you to be successful. Last thing I want to touch on, and I mean, this is a much longer message, but I'm giving you the highlights. I know you. So I hear somebody out there saying, my goodness, for somebody to be put on the spot, he's still got enough words. He got a lot of words. No, but seriously. The next thing I want to tell you is when God drops something on you to do, don't try to do it all at once. You know, sometimes we try to take on more than what God wants us to do. He said, I'm going to have you, I mean, he might tell you one day you're going to be president. And before the week's out, you select in a cabinet. You sold your house, you're going to Washington. I mean, no, I'm exaggerating, of course, but seriously, sometimes we fail because our goal size is huge. When really God is just saying, get to next week. Get to next week. Have not done this. You know, get to next week having cut off these cigarettes or whatever your goal is. But what we do is we say, God says, I want you to stop smoking. You say, I can never, ever smoke again. Never, ever. As long as I live. Oh, my gosh, that looks so big, doesn't it? Instead of saying, you know what? Don't smoke today. Don't do it today. And then tomorrow morning, hey, you did it yesterday. Don't smoke today. All right. Hey, don't smoke today. Before you know it. Man, I've been saying that for a year. I'm over this thing. You know? But no, you try to share Christ with somebody and what they say? You mean I can never do forever again? It's huge. And I think we need to be realistic and put things in the right mindset. We take on more than we really should. And then when we fail, the world's looking and they're saying, stupid. And you're saying, God, why didn't you stand up for me? He's saying, who told you to carry all that? I gave you this. Amen? Anyway, I hope you're encouraged with this word. I know it wasn't one of those run and shout words. I could have gave you one of those, but I'm serious about this. I want you to know, whatever somebody says to you, let it fall to the ground. Let God be the one. Because we have stories where people have had hysterectomies, and God said, no, I still wanted a baby to come from you. And a baby came from them. All right? God is able to do what he wants. And I tell you something, didn't you guys say the baby, in a year, the baby would, the purple would go away or something like that? And see, when you said that, God said, no, it ain't taking no year. I was at the keyboard, and I heard it clear as day. It ain't taking a year. The doctors are going to be amazed at how speedy that's going to happen. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not taking a year. But anyway, go out there. Do what we've got to do. We all need to be successful, and we need to pray for each other. Amen? I'm going to be praying for you because as you're successful, our kingdom is successful. Amen? All right. Well,
hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.